Why not? Yes.
Fantastic. Okay. Well, with the 21st Premier League season just days away from kicking off, ESPN is celebrating the new season with its second series of Legends of the Barclays Premier League. And I'm delighted to say the voice of ESPN's football coverage, John Champion, joins me on the line now to look forward to it. So, John, firstly, why don't you tell us a bit about the Legends of the Barclays Premier League series?
Well, first of all, the big problem is defining a legend. 20 seasons of the Premier League, it's been a vintage era, I think, for English football with the influx of top foreign players. We've seen some glittering stars, and those that have shone the brightest are the ones that we've chosen to profile. So the likes of Ian Wright, Cristiano Ronaldo, Schmeichel, Reed, Fowler, Di Canio, Vieira, Les Ferdinand, David Beckham, people of that ilk, those that have really stamped their mark, Eric Cantona, people who've left an indelible imprint on English football are those who we've defined as legends of the Barclays Premier League, and those are the ones that are being celebrated on ESPN Classic.
And it's a perfect way, really, to get you in the mood for the new season if you're not already in it, you know, by looking back at some of the greatest players who have ever played in this league.
Yes, well, I think we all need to be sort of eased gently out of the Olympic aura and sort of guided towards the football season. So this is a nice, gentle way of doing it. After a wonderful couple of weeks of Olympic sport, a few football memories, and then the latest football with a host of new stars, hopefully, for us to enjoy in the Barclays Premier League this coming season. So that was the thinking behind it, really, just to ease us all gently into the new campaign.
And, you know, you touched on some of the names there, the Cristiano Ronaldos, David Beckham, you know, Schmeichel. These are players who just made a memorable, long-lasting imprint on this division and, you know, really have left people with memories. So nice to sort of sit down and relive those memories.
Well, I think so. I mean, it feels like the Premier League has been here forever. In fact, as you were saying in your introduction, it's only the start of the 21st season, but these are players who have made this this huge impression. And I think it'll bring back memories because, I don't know about you, but for me, the Premier League, there are standout moments. There are things like Paolo Di Canio, you know, on the one hand pushing over a referee, on the other declining to score a goal because of an infringement against an opponent. So there are wonderful contradictions. There are also moments that we'll all remember, like David Beckham's goal from halfway. Poor Neil Sullivan appears in our series talking about what it was like to be beaten by Beckham from 60 yards when Beckham at the time, back in the mid-90s, was a relative unknown. Peter Schmeichel, the way he used to bellow at his defenders, and half of them that we interviewed said that they still suffer hearing impairment because of it. I think there are these stories that perhaps have slipped from the forefront of our memories, and we'll find that our memories are jogged by this series.
Certainly, and you know, whilst we're looking back, we were also looking ahead. I mean, this is one of those seasons. You mentioned it before with the having to ease ourselves back in from the euphoria of the Olympics. But you know, this is one of the most difficult seasons to call in my eyes because, you know, we for many seasons you knew four teams that would be challenging at the top, and now it just sort of seems to be that there are six or seven teams that you expect can make a move at any stage of the season to compete up there. We've had, you know, a decline in Liverpool standards over recent years. We've had the ascension of Manchester City with all their money, and of course winning the Premier League in such dramatic fashion last season. Spurs seem to be there or thereabouts. Arsenal look to have strengthened from last season's position. So, you know, and of course you've got the Manchester Uniteds, the Chelseas, Chelsea, who you'll expect a lot more from this season, in domestically at least. So, I mean, from your point of view, looking at it now, is there a way to call this season, or do we just have to wait and see what Saturday and, you know, maybe the next couple of months really brings?
Well, I think we got a bit of a clue, Lee, in the Community Shield game on Sunday that Manchester City are still going to be the team to beat. They didn't start particularly well. They played with an unfamiliar formation of three central defenders to begin the game. Several of their players were absent, injured. Others are feeling their way back after the exertions of the Euros. So normally I would say it's difficult to make a judgment on a team in the Community Shield, but I thought it was a feisty enough occasion with eight yellow cards and one red that it was actually, for once, something that resembled a proper game of football, and it gave a few pointers that Manchester City, I think, are the team still to chase. My view of the season going into it at this stage is that City are the team to beat. Manchester United, as last year, are the side most likely to knock them off their perch. And then I think there's a host of teams who'll be vying for Champions League qualification. The teams that you mentioned, really, I don't see Chelsea quite having enough to launch a sustained challenge over 38 games for the Premier League title itself. I can well see them in the top three. I struggle to see them as the top one. I think Tottenham have got it all on to replicate a top four finish. I think the upheaval of the change of manager, the loss of key players on the basis that no one really expects Modric to play for them beyond August this season, because he will surely head to Madrid. It's just a question of what the fee will be and the terms. I'm not sure about the quality of the replacements. I am looking forward to seeing Gylfi Sigurdsson play in a prominent role in a genuinely good team rather than being a star in a fairly modest team at Swansea. I think of the others, Arsenal, so much depends on Van Persie and where he ends up. And that also impacts on the title race itself, because if he ends up at Manchester United, that gives them a huge boost. It's a blow to Manchester City. It's also, of course, most of all, a significant knockback for Arsenal. So I think at this stage in mid-August, it's very difficult to look at things because so much significant transfer business is done at the very end of the transfer window in most seasons. And I expect that to be the case again. And sides that you wouldn't really fancy now may be much more backable by the end of August. But the way I see it now is City, the favourites, Manchester United, nearest challengers, and then this host of clubs, Chelsea, Arsenal, Tottenham, maybe Liverpool, but I think they're coming from a long way back. It might take another season before they're genuine contenders again. But that's the way I see it now.
Yes, and you touched on it there with the, you know, we're going to have a couple of games really before the transfer window shuts, and it seems to be such a you know, every manager seems to lament the transfer window, but when it comes to that, you know, August 31st, they're all frantically chasing around, paying top dollar for players. I mean, do you agree with someone like Arsene Wenger who says the window should shut before the season starts?
Yeah, I do, really. I mean, I think we saw Arsene Wenger for once in his career indulging in something approximating to panic buying at this time last year, where suddenly he found himself with all the money from Fabregas and had to invest it at very short notice. It never ceases to amaze me, Lee, that these multi-million pound businesses involved in a billion pound industry, many billions of pounds involved in the industry, across England and beyond, that they don't have longer-term plans. I mean, they've had the back end of last season and the summer in which to plan and then do their business. And I know Mancini is very frustrated by the lack of progress at Manchester City, but why does it always come down to the last two or three days and sometimes the last two or three hours of the window? I just think it's an unnecessary distraction for sides. And that really it would be far better if all business had to be conducted before the start of the season. And then we all knew where we stood on the opening day. As it is, there are so many variables still to unfold.
Yes, and back on the pitch matters. Firstly, I'd like to hear your opinion. How do you think Brendan Rodgers will be getting on at Liverpool?
I think he's got a big task on his hands because it's like an ocean-going liner that's been drifting in the wrong direction for not just one or two years, but almost a decade and a half. Yes, they got close to turning things around under Benitez, but then they've just drifted again. And I don't think that the appointment of Kenny Dalglish did them any favours in the medium to long term. So Brendan Rodgers has got to come in. I mean, he's a bright young manager. He's 39 years of age. He has very clear ideas on how he wants the game to be played. All I would say is that it's easy at a club like Swansea, or relatively easy, to impose that style because you're not dealing with particularly established top-flight players or with major personalities. At Liverpool, you are. And he's made every effort. He's bent over backwards to get Gerrard and Carragher on side early, even though Carragher, I don't think, will have a particularly significant part to play on the pitch this season, now that he's gone past 700 appearances, and there are suggestions that maybe he's not quite the player that he was physically. But to try and impose that style and get them to play in a nice 4-2-3-1 formation with two wingers, it looks like Andy Carroll is going to be a casualty of the system, yet he's popular with the supporters. So it's a difficult balancing act for Brendan Rodgers. And the other note, of course, now would sound is that he's had three managerial jobs and two of them have gone wrong at Reading and at Watford. So one success out of three is not perfect. It's far from it. I think the jury is still out. I admire his principles. I just wait with bated breath to see whether he can actually apply them. I do think it'll be a significant job, a significant task, and probably quite a long one as well.
Certainly. And just finally, we've discussed matters at the top of the table. Let's take a look at the bottom, because as far as I can see, it seems to be one of the most difficult seasons to call who's going to be relegated. There are no odds-on favourites, because I'd imagine we don't know that much about certain clubs. You know, nobody's odds on to go down. Reading and Southampton, I think, are favourites. West Ham are expected to stay in the division. It should be interesting, though, because I've been enjoying watching Reading the last couple of seasons in the Championship under McDermott. And, you know, we've also got Southampton with back-to-back promotions. Does that work in their favour or against them?
I think, Southampton would be one of my three. I've got great admiration for Nigel Adkins, but I think he works in difficult circumstances with an owner who is very opinionated, and I understand very awkward to work for on occasions. And I look at their acquisitions this close season, and I see them buying Championship players to add to a Championship squad, and I don't quite see how that keeps them in the Premier League, so I do rather fear for them. I hope to be proved wrong. Elsewhere, if you're asking me who I think is in danger of going down, I think we may well be in for seeing a case of second seasonitis, that well-known footballing disease in the Premier League. And I think it will probably afflict Swansea, because I think Brendan Rodgers is a big loss for them, and he's taking players with him. Joe Allen's gone already. There's talk of Ashley Williams going and Scott Sinclair as well. Well, that rips the heart out of that team. And whilst they've made a very good acquisition from Vallecano in Spain in Miku, I'm not convinced that they can cover over the cracks. And I also wonder about Norwich City. I think they've got an excellent manager replacing a very good one, Chris Hughton coming in for Paul Lambert, who's departed to Aston Villa. But their hands are tied financially. I'm not sure that Grant Holt can have the same impact at his stage of his career. I think Premier League defenders will be rather wiser to him. So I think they've got it all on to stay in the league as well. So Southampton, Swansea and Norwich would be the triumvirate that I would fear for at this stage.